It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith, joined on the phone by the great Bill Connolly from SB Nation, author of a preview story, a really legitimate preview story for every major college football team in the country. He did Penn State about a week or two ago, and we're going to talk to him about how he views the Nittany Lions going into 2018. Bill, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Well, just tell me, I can just imagine the challenge of trying to go in depth for every team in the country and trying to really present a fact or two that each and every fan base doesn't already know. What is the challenge and what is the process of going through all that? It just seems like a lot to me.
Well, I mean, it is. It is the full-time job of the offseason. But number one, this is the eighth year of these previews. And each year probably gets a little easier just because you remember the narrative that's been building from year to year, so you don't have to start from scratch necessarily. But then having the advanced stats in your back pocket helps too. Those are usually kind of informative, and they can usually tell you at least a little something that you didn't suspect or didn't completely believe or whatever. So between those two things, I think, it probably gets a little easier each year.
And I think that's the thing that's really interesting about the previews that you do is that there's a really good mix of quantifying using those advanced stats you mentioned. And I guess you can probably use those stats to back up what you believe that you saw from each team anyway. Just tell me about the mix that you and the balance that you try to make with quantifying and qualifying what you see on the field.
Right. I mean, the balance is trying to watch as much as possible. Cause I mean, that is when you throw numbers at a fan base, especially if it tells you something they don't want to hear, the first thing you're going to say is, watch the game nerd or something to that effect. And so being able to, just kind of combine the stats and what the eyeballs see, that's going to help a lot, obviously. So I do watch as much as humanly possible during the season. And usually I think the best way to use stats in general is kind of backwards from what we normally think, and it's basically just you start with the stats and then you kind of go from there. We tend to look at we tend to think that stats are supposed to have all the answers or whatever, but it doesn't really work that way. It's supposed to be the beginning of the conversation, not the end of the conversation, I guess you could say. And so that's kind of how, like, if I'm looking at it and I'm kind of comparing it to what the TV has told me or whatever, you'll pretty quickly come up with a list of things you're curious about, things you're more sure about, and all that. And so, the combination is probably best.
I think college football fans of every fan base, it's never been harder to tell them something they don't know. I think that college football fans are more educated than ever, I believe, on their favorite teams. And one of my favorite things about what you do is that, there is something in there. It might be a stat, but it might be your interpretation of the stat and your understanding of the depth chart around some of the numbers that really stands out. Let me ask you this. What needs to happen, scenarios, who need breakout players, whatever, for Penn State to make a run at a Big Ten title? What are a few of the things on your checklist, questions that need to be answered?
Well, I mean, it's easy to kind of paint a picture of, a by committee kind of offense. There's a high quantity of options for Penn State this year, obviously. And so you can kind of talk yourself into that. I mean, Ricky Ronan kind of hinted it during the Washington game there. He used everybody. Everybody got a touch or two. And so you can see that there's enough talent overall to maybe make that work, but you still need to see guys step up. Guys like Brandon Polk, maybe in the slot. One of these star freshmen or redshirt freshmen, especially a receiver. Miles Sanders has quite the, burden of proof on him this year as well. So, I mean, there are a ton of candidates, and when you don't have known quantities at one specific position, you want options for replacing them, and that's definitely what Penn State's got, but you still now have to go through the process of seeing guys step up. On the defense, it's kind of like I can't really make myself all that worried about the defense. Maybe it's just because they have a track record. They've been consistently top 20 level with two different defensive coordinators now. Getting John Reed back in the secondary, a couple of the other guys, I think they did a really nice job of playing guys last year, just playing a ton, giving the guys a ton of minutes, both in blowouts and not so much in blowouts. And, I think that's going to pay off. That experience, you can lose. It's a lot easier to replace however many starters they have to replace this year, 7 or 8 or whatever. It's a lot easier to replace those if the backups have already gotten a lot of playing time, and that seems to be the case here.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing. It's the nuanced part of looking at that information from the schools or from the Big Ten or whatever that says X number of starters back, X number of starters returning.
Right.
There is a little bit of gray area for Penn State. And I think one area that's interesting there is the pass rush, where they've got a couple guys who are proven, but they've also got guys who were maybe out of their element a little last year. Shaka Toney, I think, is one name that you mentioned as a possible breakout in that conversation. But they've got guys who may not be starters, but I think they're ready.
Right. I mean, like, let's see, 1, 2, 3, like something like 11 different linemen had at least one sack last year, or at least a half a sack last year. Like they really did get guys involved, and that's especially up front. I see all the depth I need to see from the front four, especially linebackers. Obviously going to be a kind of a weird situation here, but even then, you quote unquote lose 3 starters, you still have Farmer. You still have Brown, who played a lot. It really does seem like they've done a nice job of recruiting well and then getting those guys involved in one form or another, to where not only they get experience, but you can also start to see what they can do. And those backups, a lot of those backups produce pretty impressive disruption numbers in small sample sizes.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking some Penn State football. Looking at the 2018 season with Bill Connolly from SB Nation, he authored a really good preview piece that you got to check out. He's doing it for every team in the country, so if you want to read up on everybody, you can, but especially for Penn State. I think while we're on this subject, I believe you mentioned depth concerns. Defensive tackle, you just mentioned the linebacker, where there are guys who have played defensive tackle. There are guys who have played. I'm not sure if the rotation is proven, but you also mentioned safety and wide receiver. I feel like I'm a little bit more optimistic about those two position groups than you may or may not be. I think there are names that aren't known yet, but there's some guys who are on the cusp, I think. So safety and wide receiver, I feel pretty good about them. But just contingency plans are in place. I don't know if you are buying into the young guys that much.
Well, and I try not to buy too much into young guys. They still have to go prove themselves, and especially when we start taking like spring football impressions into account, we end up high on more guys than we end up that end up proving themselves, I guess you could say. And so it's kind of a, I always try to tap the brakes a little bit, but that's where this the experience and getting such a huge rotation going last year helps a lot, because you do see at least a little something. Guys like Monroe at safety made some plays. They weren't on the field a ton, but he made some plays when he got out there, and that does make you at least a little bit more optimistic about what they might be capable of. Obviously, especially in the secondary, when you just lop off the entire front, the entire first string from last year, that's always going to be a little bit of a concern. But that second string does have some interesting guys, even if not even looking at like the really young guys who haven't seen the field yet. I never try to buy into those guys very much. But that second string saw a lot of the field, and we'll see about depth. That's going to be an issue. But the first string, I feel pretty confident in.
Speaking of unproven guys, two true freshmen really jump off the page. 5 stars. One's Micah Parsons. Part of the solution, I think a lot of people assume, at that linebacker position. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Justin Shorter, who's a 5-star wide receiver who I'm optimistic about him because he brings a deep element. Have you gotten a chance to watch or get to know both of these guys very much?
Just their recruiting profiles. And obviously they're both ridiculous recruiting profiles. So, I mean, we'll see. But I especially with at receiver, with Shorter receiver, just the simple fact that they won't be relying on him. He doesn't have to come in and be the number one guy. I think that's going to help a lot. When you've got a Jawan Johnson and a Tompkins and a Polk and everybody else, they can give him a role early, but they don't have to depend on him. I think that helps the young guys a lot. Some of those, true freshmen, when they're thrown into the deep end, they respond really well, but a lot of really, really, eventually really, really, really good guys still struggle for a while, especially if they're asked to do too much. So at receiver, I'm not really worried about that. Obviously Parsons is going to be given as much of a bite as he can possibly take, and we'll see how much that is. But if he turns out to be at least solid, as blue chip freshmen, even when they're good, that, don't ask for more than solid. If he can be a solid piece, when you've got Farmer and these other guys, maybe there's enough there too.
Let me ask you this. You talked about the 2017 season called Penn State maybe the best prepared team in the country, and that's really just how they got out of the gates, which was very different from the 2016 season. How do you go about making sense of two just super different trends in the way a team started and finished?
Yeah, I mean, the 2016 team was, I almost said smoke and mirrors, and that's not quite right. But just, I mean, they had a battle. It took them a while to figure out the right answer, which, I mean, first-time starting quarterback, offensive coordinator there for his first year, even the go-to guy, Barker, was a true sophomore. So, I mean, it made sense that they might be a little bit inconsistent. And they really, from an efficiency standpoint, they put themselves in a lot of awkward down distances, but they always managed to bail themselves out. It was going to be really hard to do that two straight years, but this last year, all that efficiency they lacked from 2016 was there. I think it was just the prep aspect of, you know, knowing what defenses are going to key on and knowing what your answers are going to be right out of the gates. Obviously, Saquon had some big gains early in games too, so it's not like you can say they went elsewhere because they knew everybody was focusing on Barkley. But the system that Moore had designed was kind of, you know, the defense gets to kind of dictate the reads that you make. And so I think just having Trace McSorley be able to take what the defense is given and just destroy defenses with it every single time. It seemed like every single game, like I said in the preview, started 14-0. It being able to come out of the gates constantly and consistently with points, I think, was a huge thing. I think it says a lot about Trace McSorley, first of all, but it was a huge thing for the team overall, obviously.
So we got about a minute. That dynamic that you're describing, it changes, and it's one of those variables. And I guess if there's ever a year to lose your offensive coordinator, having a fifth-year senior guy who's going into his third year starting helps. But how would you just make sense of the shifting dynamic, and is there a possibility that the offense can get better without Saquon Barkley?
I think it can be as good without Barkley. That's where I'm setting the bar. What were they? I think 10th overall in my offensive rankings. So if you just match that, you're doing pretty well for yourself. I think there are enough, not only enough a variety of weapons, but a lot of guys who have worked with McSorley before, and Ronnie and McSorley have been around each other obviously a lot too. And I think highly enough of Richie Ronnie to know he's not going to, you know, if it ain't broke, you know, that's going to be at least a little bit of the attitude here. He's going to know what this personnel can do, and he's not going to try to reinvent everything. So, yeah, I do think another top 10 or 15 performance is possible offensively, and that really would be a very impressive thing if you lose maybe the best offensive player this side of Baker Mayfield and then maybe the best offensive coordinator in the nation.
Yeah, Joe Moorhead moves on to Mississippi State. Ricky Ronnie there to pick up the pieces and try to move on to 2018. That's Bill Connolly from SB Nation joining us to talk some Penn State football. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, we're moving on. Our redshirt review series, we wrap it up, coming up after this, looking at Penn State's redshirt freshman. Stick around.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer, hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.